I tell myself that if times ever get tough, just to push through. It's not only a physical game, it's a mental game as well. Your revival starts now.
Welcome to Mental Talks, episode one of a new season, new era in our new studio. Welcome to Paul.
Welcome, Lewis, and welcome our special guest, Martin.
Hi.
And who is Martin?
Do you want me to answer that? Okay, it's a question to me. So I am the owner of Revival Fitness and many other things, but in this case, Revival Fitness, which is your new base,
our new home, yeah. Our new recording studio.
It took a while to get here, though, didn't it?
Oh, it did, yeah. Took some planning. It took a bit of time. People letting us down.
It's cozy. It's nice.
Yeah. First question to Martin, how annoyed were you getting with the amount of messages I'd send you?
No, you weren't too bad, actually. And you know what I was more annoyed about? Because I'd said, oh, yeah, we'll sort this, don't worry. And it just went on and on and on and on and on. And I just, that was the most annoying bit.
But once we got the okay and you said, look, just get your own people in, I thought, oh, do you know what?
Done.
And we got it. A nice ceiling put in. This is cool.
It's really nice.
I mean, you've done a good job.
Thanks, Paul. It looks you came for the very last. What did you do? You just came to inspect it, really, didn't you?
I came to inspect it and I gave you some money. So
I haven't fitted one of the blinds because I broke the catch already.
Yeah. And my eldest son came to test the microphones.
Test the microphones out. So we are here. Brand new era for Mental Talks where we want to take this.
Yeah, we want to take this to the next level, don't we?
The best level. And Martin has to be the first guest because
I am the bridge to that level. Is what we're saying there, I think. Yeah. I feel that.
Yeah.
So introduce yourself. Tell us a bit about yourself, Martin, because the viewers don't know you.
So my name's Martin Waterhouse. I am the owner of Revival Fitness Gym, or part owner, should we say, of Revival Fitness Gym. I've owned it for 4 years. We've had it 4 years. November will be our 4 year birthday. So, and I do quite a few other things, which I can also divulge at some point if you'd like to know that. But that's pretty much me.
I think you do two different things, two different ends of the spectrum.
Go on.
You do fitness.
Yes.
And then you do really good, high quality, very high calorific food.
Yeah. So
tell me more.
So a lot of my streams of income are just hobbies, basically, that I make money out of. That's how I do it, how I sort of live my life. So I'll cut a long story short. So I own a gym. I obviously PT. It's another form of income. I run a street food business, which is where you see all the high calorific, lovely food pictures on my Instagram. I run an Amazon business, which is a buy and sell business, which I've run for about 7 years. So I have a warehouse in Amazon and I ship out to European countries and all that kind of stuff.
I feel like we're missing out.
And I now own a clothing company, so.
Unfortunately, we haven't got the clothes on tonight.
No. Yeah.
we were donating some clothes.
Yeah, to be fair, though, the fitness clothing company is more of a female clothing company. You wouldn't look good in the leggings and the sports. I mean, maybe you would look good in the leggings and the sports.
Paul's the only person that could probably pull off the leggings.
Size 26 waist. So,
boom.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm a big fan. So, we're going to talk about mentality, mindset, but first, we're going to get into lockdown. Being a business owner, Martin, you've probably got a lot, which no one's really spoke to us about businesses, have they?
No. So it'd be great insight if Martin can, you know, how did lockdown affect you?
Yeah, so it was a scary time, really, I suppose. I mean, I suppose a lot of business owners could probably relate. It's a weird one as well, because it's quite a bit of a taboo subject when you try and talk to business owners about their business over lockdown, because certain grants you get and things like that, and people don't want to talk about them, and anything financial, it's like, you know.
It's the big taboo word at the moment, finance.
Yeah, it's just, nobody ever wants to talk about it, but it'd be good to people to talk and share about their experiences, you know, especially from a business owner to another business owner. Like I know them, but I'm not really close with many, so all I know is my business partner, Craig, but he's in the same boat as I am, so It's difficult to try and have that sort of talk with somebody sometimes and share your experiences, but it was scary, man. Like, when it first hit, obviously nobody knew what it was going to be like. I'm sure most people was a bit like, whoa, like, what's this? Like, we've never experienced this before. And then just in terms of when they announced that we were going to shut the business down, I remember going over to Vegan Boulevard with Steph, my colleague, and it was just like, I'm not sure we're going to be here in like 6 or 8 months.
I remember
time.
That day. Do you remember sitting there watching Boris Johnson?
Yeah.
I came here straight after that announcement because they said from tomorrow, all gyms will close. And I thought, I've worked all this this hard for the last eight. I think I'd been, I joined 18 months before. And I was like, what am I going to do?
Well, we'd heard like, before the announcement, we'd heard a rumor. I'd heard it from my business partner that we were going to close. I didn't kind of believe it. I'm always half full kind of guy. So I was just like, no, not gyms, surely, right? We need fitness.
Yeah.
Of course. In a pandemic that affects your... Was that a sound effect or was that...
Yeah, that was
it.
That was a sound effect.
Wow.
We have new sound effects.
Yeah, so in a pandemic revolving around something that affects your lungs and things like that, I thought, you know, fitness would still be a key factor. But it turns out no. So I remember there was loads of people in the gym on that night. I don't know if it was the night before or the night before the before. I can't remember, but... I was here late to sort of calm everybody down, sort of things. Everybody was just asking questions. I was getting so many messages about you're closing, you're doing this, you're doing that. And I was like, I really don't know, but I didn't want to say I'd heard this. So I was just trying to get everybody to try and just keep paying us in a way and keep supporting us as best as we can, because we didn't know what financial help we were going to get, and we just gave people the option really, which kind of went one way and went the other. But yeah. So I remember going to a Vegan Boulevard, and I was just like, this ain't going to go, man. This is definitely going to close. Like, we are screwed, basically. And then when he announced it, I think it was the day after. I can't remember, but he announced it, and I was just like, geez, you know, what's going to happen now? But and then at the same time, I was also going, oh, it's only going to be a few weeks, you know, trying to remain positive, you know, and it was just take out the time.
I was like, yeah, it'll only be a month.
Yeah, yeah.
And within a month, I think I'd put on about half a stone.
It was just mad. It went like that as well, just flew. And I was just like, as if it's a month gone. And then, lo and behold, other than the months that we kind of opened for 2 or 3 months, we were closed for basically a year. So
when they first announced that gyms had to close and you were told that you had to shut your shop, that was it. What was the first thing that went through your mind?
I think for me, like, we were always really financially well off. The gym's always done very well. So we had a kitty of money. So we weren't really worrying about that. I love doing what I do. So the fact that was being taken away from me, money aside, made me like panic in a sense. Like I don't like just to go home in general and just sit there and do nothing. I have to have something to do.
Sit in your hot tub.
Yeah, well, that's my office now. So I've just, people laugh now because it's like, that's my office. So, but when I'm in there, I have my laptop or my iPad or whatever, and I'm buying and selling for Amazon, or I'm sorting out the clothing stock, or doing something, or doing mainly socials for the street food, you know, because that's just social. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But so I just do it in my hot tub to try and, you know, pass the time sort of thing, which is, this sounds cool. Right? That sounds cool though, right?
Yeah.
It's better than being on a sofa. So, you know,
podcast
so I do that.
In a hot tub.
let's get it done.
Do it, man. It's going to be a new thing.
So was that the first time you've properly, was that panic stage?
Yeah, because I've been self-employed since 2016. I did an office job before that for like 10 years. So I was like managing like a group of people at British Gas in Albury. And then I went self-employed. And then when I first went self-employed, that was a little bit weird because I was like, oh God, I've got to try and make sure I earn a certain amount of money every month to make sure I'm all right sort of thing. And that was fine. That went really well. And then, so that was my first little bit of self-employed kind of business owning panic. And then I've been really comfortable. And then when that happened last year, I was just like, just the uncertainty sort of thing, really. And it reminded me of when I first became a PT and started doing the Amazon thing and being self-employed. You kind of don't know where your next payment's going to come from. Like, what if you don't sell the stuff that you're buying? Or what if somebody doesn't have PT off you? Like, how do you pay your bills? That kind of thing. So it was kind of reminded me of that feeling sort of thing. But it was just weird. Like,
That first morning, okay, so you've done this how long? 4 years, you say? So
four
that
years
would be 3 years.
Yeah.
And you come here every day, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
That first morning,
Yeah, I came here. I came back here. Yeah.
Well, you came here.
I came in here, yeah.
How did it feel? Because I remember the first day of the official lockdown, and I was working nights. I left work, and I've never seen anything like it.
Well, I went a bit strange. Like, I went, like, is rogue the right word? Like, I just went weird. Like, my wife was always like, my wife thought something was going on. Like, I was just, like, out the house.
Being weird.
Yeah, like, she won't mind me saying this, but at one point she thought I was, like, doing something with somebody else because, like, I'd get out the house at, like, 6 a.m. I'd come here and I'd, like, lie on the sofa just, like, thinking about what we could do to, like, make something out of something. And, like, there was all these ideas being passed around, like, oh, you can make it a mental health gym and people could come in because that's not against the rules and all that kind of stuff. So there was
loads. If we'd have joined forces.
Well, don't quote me on it, but apparently there if was you were doing, like, yeah, that you could still have a support group. So there was a gym, I won't name the gym, but there was a gym around here locally that did mental health well-being sessions, but you were just coming to the gym and training, basically. But
that is a well-being session.
Yeah, which I agree, but it's didn't work. It got shut down. So because they were just using the gym. So I'd just sit there and I'd be thinking, oh, and then there was a few PTs coming in as well. I was still letting them earn money over lockdown, even though they weren't allowed. But I couldn't take that away from them. So they were still having clients coming in. I was just sitting there thinking, and I spent the whole day here, like. And because I wasn't allowed to have anybody here, I was, like, watching people here. So, like, I was just here the whole day, morning till night. And my wife was just like, what is wrong with you? And I was like, my head was just constantly churning. Like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do next? How am I going to? I kind of wanted to do another business, really. I was like, what is there another thing I could do? Because I don't want to go back into an office.
Should have gone into retail.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing. I don't think we stopped for the entire 18 months.
Well, that's how the street food was born. So was through lockdown.
So what street food do you do?
So I don't cook it. That wouldn't be very tasty. So I can cook a little bit, but not as good as some of the guys. So the story about that, do you want me to jump into that?
I think we should go, Was it born during the time of
So first lockdown, because we opened back again in July till November, I believe. Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't long, was it?
No. My business partner was going to buy a pub. Yeah, he already owned one in Cookley, the Eagle & Spur. Hated it, and he wanted to do another one. So, and he's always asking me to go in with him and do things and whatnot. And I don't drink, so owning a pub is never a thing I wanted to do. I just no interest in it. So he was constantly going back and forth. He was telling me all these ideas, trying to get me involved. And I was like, well, I love food. Like, that's my thing. If you look at my Instagram,
food's
full of food. Yeah. So I love fitness. I love food. So I thought, well, again, that's my sort of philosophy. If I can make that hobby into a business, how can I do that? And I don't know if you've ever been to Cup Coffee Shop in Hagley, but they had street food vendors there all over lockdown. And I lived there. Like, every week I was eating street food like it was going out of fashion. Like, I loved it. And it was all the Digbeth guys from Digbeth Dining Club and stuff. Yes. And they're all cool people. It's, you know, brilliant people to know. And so I just thought, well, if you're going to own this pub, I don't want to own it with you, but let me do this instead. So I'll run a street food business from there. So it got to, like, the second lockdown by the time I could put it into play. So, like, November time, when we shut down again, I was like, that's it now. Because I didn't think we'd shut down for a second time. And it was repeat off at this point. I was like, not again.
It must have been frustrating that you've opened up, got everyone back here. Everyone's feeling it.
And it was like
taken away from you again.
Yeah, and we were told by, like, the media, which is like a swear word in my house. We don't even put the news on now. But we were told, like, fitness and the gym sector was, like, a massive part in dealing with COVID and whatever. And then they just shut us down at a heartbeat. So it was just like, and we had no cases here. We still have never had a case here ever recorded anywhere that we know of. So it was just a massive bummer. And then I thought, well, you know what? That's it now. So I just got in contact with everyone I could get in contact with and just built this like structure to hold street food nights at the pub New Inn in Norton. It's gone massive. Like, it's another full-time job. So it's that wouldn't have happened unless lockdown had happened. So
of all the bad things that came through lockdown, something great was born out of it.
Huge, yeah. Like, and I'm really, really proud of it as well. Like, I love it. Like, I say to you, I think I've said to you before, like, if you can make a career out of doing this, because you guys seem to love to do this.
I love it. I don't know about
you. Yeah.
We invest a lot of time and money.
And if you can make it a career, it's the best thing ever.
I think you'd love to talk for a living.
Oh, I mean, in the way I kind of do, but I'd quite like to do this a bit more, to be fair.
Yeah, man. There's a difference between having a self-employed business and earning money off your hobby or something that you love. It's the same concept, but it's totally different.
I'm in a job.
Yeah.
I like it. Do I like it enough?
No. Yeah.
If I could make money doing something I love, I'd do it. Retail's just retail. That's what I've done. That's what I know.
Well, I could be a self-employed builder or something, you know, but I'd hate it, you know. Yeah. You could earn great money, but I'd hate it. But
you'd make a lot of money of that at the moment.
Yeah. You could kill it, but I'd hate it. Like, it just wouldn't be a passion of mine. So I would just be like, ugh. But I can make money advertising food. You know what I mean? So it's mad. And, like, if I could... I can't. How do I tell you how successful it is without talking about finances? But it's just gone crazy.
So we need to visit this place.
You got it. I can't believe not be. It's all over my Instagram.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Follow my new Insta average. That's my Instagram. That's another Instagram of mine that I've managed.
Yeah, and it's plugging businesses
at new Insta average.
As part of the sponsorship deal. So, your mindset and mentality is how was that affected during lockdown? Because you've got, I would say, a good mindset.
Yeah, I'm very much a glass half full guy all the time. It's never empty. So I'm like, if there's a problem, I can lose my mind. I can go crazy sometimes, but I'm always positive. I always try and be. I go to a high extent with it as well. Like, I cut people out of my life that are like negative. Like, I can't stand it. Like. Yeah. I really do.
That's a good thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I do, man. Because, like, you know, I'm all about supporting people. This is the whole point of this podcast, you know. I'm all about that. And, I've supported a lot of people over the last 12 months, especially. And I'm all about that. I can listen to your stories and I can help as much as I can. But when people are negative, and they seem to have come out the woodwork a lot these last 12 months, I just deleted. Like, I used to have so many friends. Like, so many friends. I'd 30, 40 mates. I probably have one now that I speak to on a regular basis.
I think that it has come out of lockdown, hasn't it? You either come out of it positive. I have noticed a lot of negative people. And it infuriates me because, you know, like, we can all be negative or we can all think negative things, but
it doesn't get you
anywhere. Don't tell anyone. Just keep it in your head.
It does not get you anywhere.
If you were negative in your job,
it wouldn't happen.
You'd be rubbish, wouldn't
you? Yeah, yeah. I like to think I'm quite successful in the job that I'm doing, and I just wouldn't be. You know, I have to be, like Martin said, glass half full every time.
Yeah.
There are days I get up and I'm like, okay,
it's
got to do this again.
There's a difference between being positive and sort of being motivated. Sometimes you can wake up and you're not as motivated as perhaps you should be, but you still got to be positive about it.
See, that feeling, I don't get that ever anymore.
Do you not?
Never.
You wake up every day.
Every single day. And it's literally because of how I make my living.
Yeah.
That's literally the reason why. Like, little boy's the best thing in the world. My wife's great. They all make me happy massively.
Are you saying that because of the podcast?
100%, yeah. Okay. That has to go in, yeah, just in case. But literally, like, and I've been there 10 years of working in an office, which was a really well-paid job, you know, and it was a really good business to work for. I couldn't give you a bad word. The people there are a bit meh, but the business as British Gas as a whole was a great company to work for. And I'd get up and I'd go, nah, man. Like, glass weren't half full then, mate, I tell you right now. I was just
glass glass was empty.
Glass was like on the verge of being, never being filled again. And I was just like,
I suppose it's the part of, you know, you are your own boss.
100%.
You are your own boss. I mean, my eldest was he was vomiting and he was quite sick last week, and I was a bit nervous going into my boss to sort of say that I need a day off because I need to look after him, but I shouldn't have to feel that way.
Never. It's your family, man.
Exactly.
We do get made to feel, but I think that's subconsciously that you are made to feel.
It is subconsciously because you know how busy the place gets, even when you're there. So when you're not there, you know, there's that pressure off.
But there are those people that just don't care.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes as well, yeah. We live in a society as well as being a boss and managing people and staff, and some the amount of bullshit you have to deal with. So I think as a boss, if you've got a boss who make, I don't know if he made you feel that way, sometimes that can come from having to deal with people that literally bullshit you every day. Like, oh my God, the amount of people I've had work for me that their kid ain't sick, but they tell me their kid is sick. I've had people tell me their granddad's died 25 times, and I'm like, you've either got that many granddads or something mad's going on here. Like, do you know what I mean? And it's, I think that unfortunately that's the society we live in sometimes where, and if you can't have that power to kind of, like, I trust everybody. Like, everybody gets 100% trust. If you go against that, you're gone. But you start off at 100%. So yeah. I will. Yeah. You can do anything. But if someone converts that into a weakness and tries to take advantage of that, bye, you're gone straight away.
Well, if he is listening, I've got a really good boss.
Yeah, cool, yes.
he's really good. He's very understanding.
He's cool.
He's very understanding, and he sort of lets me crack on. And there's been times we've had to shoot off. Because I've got two kids, so there's been times I've had to shoot off, and life just happens, and he's very cool.
My boss like that. He says, life happens, and if you've got to go somewhere.
But there is management out there that, you know, they do make you feel that way.
Yeah, like you're doing something against them sort of thing. Yes. Yeah.
The greatest 100%. Boss would be someone like Michael Scott.
Who's Michael Scott?
That's the podcast over.
Who is it?
As if you never watched The Office, US.
There we go. Yes, no.
Here we go. Watch it. Michael Scott. He defines what a boss should be. Like,
is he the main character? The guy?
Yeah. Steve Carell.
I always call him Brick from Anchorman.
Always. But he showed, you know, sometimes you've got to be tough on people. But if you're tough on people all the time, then that's why people become demotivated.
I have a philosophy, and it's a Gary. You know Gary Vee? Do you follow Gary Vee?
Yes,
greatest guy in the world. Amazing guy.
Paul Hannah is a big fan.
He's so cool. Do you follow him?
I follow him.
He's brilliant. Like everything that man's. Have you really?
I've seen him live.
Wow, where?
Birmingham.
Wow. Next time that happens, I'm coming with because honest to God, I could live with that dude forever and never get bored because everything he says, I'm like, that's literally how I think and you're just saying it. Like, it's just, I just go, wow. Like, he's brilliant. But like, he always says, he says this quote, be better at firing than hiring people. And when he says that, he means, like, anybody can come into your workplace or do whatever and say whatever and you hire them and they could be great, they could be terrible. But if there's a person, if there's a staff member in your life that is just absolute, the pits, just gone. And it's about getting those negative people out of your life, just boom, gone, see you later. And it's about having that trust level for people that come in and I trust you. You tell me you can do something, I trust that, no problem at all. But you challenge that, boom, you're gone, you know?
It's good mindset to have, though, isn't
it? It's brilliant. Yeah. Like, he's a fantastic guy.
I think I need to watch that episode.
What episode of?
Foreign and hiring.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's probably, he has a podcast, so it's probably on one of his podcasts, but just follow his Instagram posts.
There are quite a few people out there about mindset, mentality.
Yeah. So Lewis, how's your mindset?
At the moment?
At the moment.
Probably where Martin was when he was working for British Gas.
Okay.
I get up sometimes and I think, do I want to do something different? Do I want to challenge myself? I've done retail for 12 years now. I worked my way up. I only do it. I'm only a manager and this is no, the company I work for is brilliant. I think I made the right choice to go there. But when I was younger in retail, I was horrendous. I tell you, I was that shelf stacker, 18 years old, didn't care. And someone told me that I'd never be a manager in retail. And that's the reason why I decided to become a manager in retail. I worked just hard to prove someone wrong. I remember watching, I can't remember who I watched, and they said some people do stuff just to prove a point.
Yeah.
And I think I did that to prove a point. And I wake up and I'm like, oh, I want to do something different. What do I want to do?
But what do you want to do?
I want to do something I enjoy.
Yeah, which would be?
Helping people. Boom. With well-being. Mental health, well-being. Because...
Be specific.
I don't know if there is a
specific. If I could say to you, you can earn anything, any amount of money from doing something just off the top of your head that you love, what would you do? What would it be?
To have a well-being centre.
Boom, there you go.
That's what I'd like. That's what my...
That would be brilliant.
Mind would be set on, would be to say, yeah, I've got this centre people can come to... And help themselves because it's never going to go away, is it?
No,
it's only
mental health will always be a thing, always.
And yeah, that's what I'd like to do.
And if anything, it's only going to get bigger in the sense of more people are going to talk about it. So
yeah.
It's already massive, just not many people talk about it. So, and that'll start to come out in the woodwork a little bit, which is a good thing. That should happen. And the more that happens, great. So it's only going to get bigger. So, you know, anything you can do to have an input in that, great.
That's the aim.
That's
but
a good
you just
aim.
Get stuck, don't you? You wake up and you're like, oh yeah, but I've got bills to pay.
Yeah. It's that sense of having that dream that you want to go for, but the reality is, you know, I've got a mortgage, you know, I've got kids to pay for.
Difficult, man. If I turned around to it and said, I've quit my job and this is what I'm going to go for, but it's going to take me 2-3 years to get there. Can you live with that? I don't know how I should react.
Try it.
I think she'd hate. We'd have to cancel the holiday.
It's not the end of the world.
But it's not yet. But
you've got to have that chat.
You've got to. So when you were at British Gas, what made you just go, yeah, okay, I'm not doing this anymore?
So I literally hated the job at one point. I was like, I'd do it and I'd do it very, very well, but I hated it. So my boss, bless her, she said to me, and I was, you know, you had one of those bosses who was in, she was nice. Like, I don't want to knock her because she was nice, but she should not have been my boss, right? Like, I used to look at her and go, how are you earning more money than me? And like a lot more money as well. And I'd be like, how? Like, yeah. You don't know anything.
I've seen a lot of that.
No, she knows nothing. And I was like, she was lovely, but she knew nothing. Basically, we all did the job for her, right, sort of thing. So I'd just be like, whatever. But her ex-partner at the time was like a personal trainer. He owned, I think he still does, owns the, it used to be a Reebok CrossFit gym in Amblecote. I think it's just called CrossFit now, but Duncan, his name is. Never met the guy, but she was like, he's a PT. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was into the gym massively at that point. Had all my lunch boxes piled up on my desk and all that jazz, the old school, proper accounting everything. And I was like, okay. So she was like, why don't you go and be a PT? So literally within that hour, I'd booked a PT course and just went with it sort of thing. And I think that took about a year and a half to get fully qualified. And I just started doing it on the side. So no days off. It was literally like, I used to do 10-hour days, 4 days a week at British Gas. I'd finish those 10 hours and I'd come to the gym and PT customers. And then, I sound like I said, the CUN too.
That's a ball special.
It was customers. I didn't say the other word. And I'd get home for like 11 o'clock at night, every single night. And I'd have to train myself as well. So 11 o'clock at night was like, that was it. And I even signed up to a 24-hour gym in Stourbridge, which I won't say the name of because it's a competitor. But I signed up there just so I could get a PT session in myself, like a training session in. So I did that for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And then I was going to jack in the job. And back in January 16, I think, and somebody said to me, no, don't. There's like they get made redundant. I'd have been there 10 years. I was like, okay. So I stuck it out. And then by April, they announced they were going to shut the building in Albury. So I was like, right, I'll wait for that. Because I worked it out with something like 15K or something like that. So I was like, right, I'll wait for that. Left in, well, we're supposed to leave in November. And then I'd never had a daft sick at work ever. And I thought, right, this is my time to do that now. So I went off sick, quotation marks. And I just, from August to November, I just smashed out so much PT and advertised so much PT to try and build a base. And then I was also doing my Amazon business. The reason why I asked this question is if you could do something that you love, what would you do? So people don't know this about me, but I'm a massive, massive toy geek. I love toys, like kids' toys. Oh, if I could, I was going to say, I'll show you my bedroom, guys. But if I showed you my spare bedroom, it is a toy haven. Like, there is everything. Anything
you got
90s.
Some collectibles.
Mate, I've got, there's probably about 500 items in my spare bedroom, right? Nice. I sold it all once years ago because I had a baby, and I sold it for like just over 10K. That's how much there was in there. Now there's more, so I've rebought everything. So it's literally wild. So that was a passion of mine, and that's my one friend that I still have today that I speak to all the time because he has the same interest as me. And I turned that into a business. So I was like, right, well, I love toys, so I'm just going to buy and sell them. So my Amazon business, I sell toys for a living. So that's how that went on. So, and I remember my salary at British Gas was about 30 grand a year. So it was about 2 grand a month. So it was a good pay job. Enough for where I was anyway. I was in an apartment in Stourbridge, and it was enough. So when I left, I was like, I need to earn 2 grand a month, right? Like, if I earn 2 grand a month from being self-employed, I'm cool. Yeah. If I earn 70% of that I could work out fine, no problem. I could live off that, right? Might not be able to have a lavish holiday, but I could live off that. If I earn zero for 6 months, I've got 15 grand in my redundancy pay to live off to try and rebuild something, right? So that was my plan. And to this day, I've never touched that 15 grand. That 15 grand sits in a separate account as like a memory of British Gas. And I'd never touch it. It's just literally sat there. Wow. And I remember my first month, and it was Christmas time. So toys were like a massive thing. Toys were always massive at Christmas. My first month from November to mid-December, I'd earn £5,500 in a month profit. And that's from PT and toys. So I was like, wow, okay, this is serious. And it just, it literally went off. And it kind of annoyed me because I was like, as if I waited this long to do this and I could have just done this like 2 or 3 years ago when I was 25, 26. But I got over that quite quickly. But I was just like, yeah, I should not have just been at British Gas for that long because that 15 grand was never touched, never needed. And it just rolled from there. And in that year, because I opened Revival November 17, within that year, I'd earned enough money to help build this place. So it was, but that was literally working all the time. It was non-stop work.
Work hard.
My apartment was filled with sellable toys, not just my collectibles. There was boxes. My wife would I'd come back home sometimes and there'd be like Doctor Who, like screwdrivers, like everywhere in packets, like, or something random, just like hundreds of them, just all over the floor, piled in boxes, ready to go to UPS and ship out to Amazon. And I was just like, that was literally my life for like 12 months. It still is really, but it's a bit more streamlined now. But it was just non-stop work. That was it. I didn't take, and then when I brought the business here, when we took over here, we didn't take any money from Revival for like about 2 years, year and a half. Just put everything into it. Everything we had, just bang, earned it back in. And it was just, it's non-stop, man.
It's paid off, though, isn't it?
Oh, mate, honestly, I would not change it for the world. Like, don't get me wrong, financially, fantastic. But just having this and just doing what I do, like I say, take finance out of it. Just, I would happily half my salary, half my British Gas salary, and just live off 15 grand a year if I could just do what I love to do, because you're living your life. That's it. Done.
That's a... I'm just going to quit my job then. No, I'm not. Boom. Really. If you're listening,
be sensible. Yeah, you got to be sensible.
You got to be sensible. Yeah, but, you know.
How's your mindset, Paul?
Well, after hearing that,
glass half full still?
Very inspired. With you obviously talking about the wellbeing centre, you know, that's something that we can do together.
You get me excited now.
You can literally do anything you want, you know. Yeah. Obviously, there's costs, but like, you just earn those costs. So. Yeah. You pay for what you have to pay for and you just work and work and work. And sometimes you have to sacrifice things. Like, I don't speak to my family that much. Like, I do. Like, I love my family. Moms, dads, that kind of stuff. But I genuinely don't see them that much. Just because, and this is going to sound bad, but if I have to spend 2 or 3 hours of my day going to see family, that's 2 or 3 hours of my day I can't earn money, right? Which sounds crazy, but it's legit. And I cannot go for that long without having to work and do something productive. So I don't do it very often, which means I lose contact with those people. And I never really see them. So I saw my mum today because my uncle comes and cuts my grass. It sounds really bad. It was his choice, right? I didn't force him to, but like he's my gardener. So he cuts my grass and my mum sometimes helps him come over and whatnot. But my auntie passed away a year and a half ago. So I think he does it to keep himself busy sort of thing. Bless him. But, so I see my mum then and whatnot, but she'll come to the street food sometimes and stuff like that. But I very rarely go and see them myself.
That's a mindset and a half.
It's big.
Your mindset, you've got, you spoke about it before, haven't you?
Yeah, my mindset, obviously I've gone through some stuff, which we spoke about previously, and I've done a lot of work on my mindset and I've been down in the dumps and it's a case of dragging myself out of it and just putting everything, you know, turning everything into a positive and just working hard. And my kids are at the forefront of that.
100%.
You know, I do everything for my kids.
100%.
You know, whenever, if I do feel unmotivated, you know, I've got pictures all over my desk, above my desk of my kids. And, you know, if I'm ever stressed at work, which it happens, especially in an office environment as well, go and sit down, have a look at my kids. They're my reason why. Mm-hmm. I'm sure mine has a why. Everyone,
I'm exactly the same, mate. Yeah. All the things that I do and earn is for my little boy. Every single bit. My wife takes a lot of it, but my little boy, it's for my little boy.
It's about the why, isn't it? So why do you want to do this? So why did I want to do this? I remember sitting in, I think I hadn't moved out then. I think I was still living at home. I remember when we did the podcast and I was living at home. At my mom's.
Yeah.
Sat in a desk. And I remember thinking, because we'd spoken about Revival, how it helped me overcome a lot of things. Like, I joined the gym and I was like 21 and a half stone.
Oh, mate, your confidence just fucking flew.
And I lost it all. I've put some back on now, but...
You look beautiful.
But I remember sitting in my room and someone said to me, if they've helped you that much, why don't you see if they can help you? I'm like, oh, no, we just do this for fun. We just sit there and talk. It's like, yeah, it's what we do. And someone just, what can happen? What's the worst? And I think I said to you, didn't I? I said, I'm going to reach out to them and say, look, what can you do for us?
Boom.
And I remember typing the message and I deleted it. I was like, nah, he's not going to like that. And I thought, oh, who's going to read it, actually? Because this is the Revival Fitness Instagram page.
It's always me.
Some random person. And I thought, you know what, let's just do it. And I remember messaging saying, look, I just want you to get involved. Don't want any money. It was never about money. I just, what can you do for us? What can we do for you? And then when it all started again and I saw this room and I said to Paul, Paul, I think I found somewhere, but I'm going to have to speak
covered
to Martin.
In junk.
I said, I'm going to speak to Martin. And Martin was like, go and do it. You go and do it. And then it wasn't until I opened the door that I realised what he said.
Please
you can clean have that
the room for
studio.
Me. Thank you for cleaning it.
But it's going
actually
to show
need it in 6 months' time.
If you never ask, if you never put yourself out there, nothing would happen. So you put yourself out there.
The key, you know, 100%.
For leaving British Gas, becoming a PT, we put ourselves out there to get this.
And it's paid off.
Yeah, paid off. Like financially, don't bother me. Like, Laura, don't. What's arrived today? Just some more foam panels. Just another packet of foam panels or the microphones or, you know, that doesn't bother me, faze me at all.
Mate, it's the key. Someone asked me once, what's the key to a successful business? And I'll ask you that. What do you think the key to a successful business? And this is my opinion, by the way, but I think it's legit. What's the key to a successful business? What's the one thing you need in a business to be successful?
Hard work.
Nope. That helps, by the way.
Attitude.
That helps. Nope. It helps.
Passion.
It helps, but it's not the answer. It might, to be fair, this is again my opinion. So if someone could listen to this and go, you're talking rubbish, but genuinely, and I'll explain why. So the key is luck, right? So you need luck, a massive amount of luck. But to generate that luck, you need what you said, you need what you said, and you need all those things. Yeah. But the top priority is you need luck. So to get that luck, though, you need to work hard. You need to have the right attitude. You need to open yourself, network. You need to put yourself out there and do those things. And you need luck. And I'll give you an example. This business is only here because of the people that I met. So I can literally go down the ladder of the structure of how this became a gym and how it became possible. And it was nothing to do with just having finance at the right time and doing those things. It was literally nothing to do with that. It was speaking to the right people, networking. And it first ever came from when I was worrying about being a PT and how I was going to earn money and doing all these things. I was like, right, what's it? There's got to be a way. Like, there's all these successful PTs in the world that I know, or they're on Instagram, and maybe it's not real, but I don't know. I see them and they go, bloody hell, you know, you lavish holidays, earning all this cash. There must be a secret or a success, right? And it's just luck. They seem to be in the right place at the right time. And I was like, well, how are they generating that? So I got in contact with a guy called Mark Rule, who's like a Canadian-based, he's a PT, but he's like a coach as well, like a business coach for personal trainers. And he said to me, who do you coach? And I was like, well, anybody. If somebody asks me he's a PT, then I'll coach them, right? That's my job, surely. No. He said, why do you do that? I'm like, well, I'm a personal trainer. Like, you want PT, I'll PT you. You know, this is my cost. Da, 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 da. He said, why don't you advertise to rich people? I was like, what do you mean? He's like, go and advertise to people that are loaded. And I was like, why? And he said, because they'll always pay you. Like, always. And then if you get people that always pay you, you'll always have a salary. You'll never have to worry every month if that person you were training is going to pay you again the next month. And I was like, okay, that makes kind of sense. Okay. So I thought, I'll wing that. I'll go with that. Let's wing it, right? So I Googled, I've always lived in Stourbridge, so I Googled the richest roads in Stourbridge, for example. It was all in Hagley, right? I now live in Hagley, just to put it in. It was all Hagley-based. So I was like, Cool. Okay. So I literally posted leaflets, all these rich roads in Hagley. And I met some cool people, man, like owners of businesses, stuff like that, right? And that was networking. So I might not ever work with these people, but I had a chance to have consultations with these people, talk to these people. Just they became gym members, if anything, right? And it literally snowballed because these people would know other successful people. And when you're successful, when you know someone who is a very successful person, they know so many people and they have so many life stories and so many just things that are happening in their life. And then most of the time they've got different streams of income. So they've just got loads of different things going on. And it legit just snowballed. And it was all from what Mark told me. He just went advertise to rich people. I was like, okay. So all these opportunities. And from all that, I ended up in certain places, networking with certain people, which was just luck because I was just in the right place at the right time. Got in contact with a guy called Nigel Kwasi, who was an ex-football player.
Oh, yeah. Nigel Kwasi?
Yeah, we don't really get on now, but it doesn't really matter. But anyway, so that's another story. But at the time, great. Training his academy. And then that's how I met Craig, my business partner. So, and Craig's a very, very, very well-off guy. Very well-off. He's very successful. Earned masses of money doing commercial roofing, stuff like that. And I met him. And at the time, I was going to build a gym in Hartlebury. That was the plan. But everything was going to be borrowed. Like, I didn't have loads and loads and loads of cash to, like, splurge on my own. But I had enough cash to 50% back this place. So this just came about because we were in the right place at the right time. And it was just luck. If I wouldn't have been here on a certain day with Craig, we would have never have found out together that this place was going to be available. And it was just... So luck is the key to everything, but you've just got to work hard and put yourself out there to get to
it. You say luck, but you've kind of made your own luck there.
Yes, and you have to. Yeah. So the hard work and the attitude and all that stuff plays a massive part in it, but the end game is you just generate as much luck as you can, and the best way to do that is to literally work your bollocks off, basically. And that's it.
I think we need to start networking.
Mm-hmm.
I think we do.
That's the biggest one.
Mate, it's huge. And like networking. Getting people on your pod, not me, like get like really, really cool people on your pod. Like I'm all right, but like... If you can get like football players on your pod and people that like have done a lot of things in life and have a lot of interesting things and have a lot of good contacts, it's massive because they'll talk about you. And what I was finding was like, I might meet 10 really, really successful people and that only one person might be joining up to PT. But then 2 weeks later, his mate will go, oh, you've lost a lot of weight. Where did you, oh, go this? And he's again, and it was just
snowball.
It was ridiculous. And
that's a good sound effect helps as well.
Snowball. Boom.
Like it.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah.
Mindset, mentality, glass half full. That's all we need to do. Make your own luck.
Yeah.
What a great start to the new series.
It's good, man.
Yeah, it's gonna be an absolute belter of a series. I think, as I said, we're going to get to the next level. And
guests every episode. That's what the aim is.
Possibilities are endless.
Because we don't want to be the only ones talking.
No.
Because people have so many stories.
Oh, man. That's what I told you earlier. That's the best one.
So I think,
please.
We will. So shall we end the podcast on a fantastic lockdown win? Would you say it was a lockdown win?
Which one?
The funny story.
Yeah.
So
it was like, fuck the police, basically.
So whilst lockdown was bad for you in one sense, in the terms of there was no one here.
Mm-hmm. Well.
You had some fun.
There was nobody here. Question mark.
Should we listen to this story? Disclaimer.
Yeah. So
I'm not involved in any way.
No, it's fine. I don't think I'm getting in trouble for this anymore. It's happened. So yeah. So over lockdown, we were naughty, man. In lockdown, we were we didn't obey by the rules too much in terms of not letting people in here. We were very. But you know what? I don't regret it because it helped so many people with their mental health. It was stupid. Like I only let members in. I only let people that I knew needed it. And asked, I wouldn't go out there and ask people just because that was going into dangerous territory. But if somebody asked me, not everybody got a yes. It was very much, I know you need that, this. I know you do because I've known you now for 4 years sort of thing. Yes, come and use the gym. And if I got in trouble on the back of that, totally worth it. Because if it helped that person out, I don't care. Do you know what I mean? It's amazing. Just, yeah.
Isn't you loan equipment to people as well?
We loaned equipment to people, yeah. Wow. So, like, that's pretty good. Much all of the equipment that was rentable. Like, obviously, you can't take a squat rack out and whatever, but people asked if they could take the treadmills, and I was like, really? No, that's never going to happen. Like, you could try and pick it up for one. It's ridiculous. But, we rented out equipment to everybody. I'd say about 80% of the equipment was rented out at one point. So, we only had, like, the machines left in here. And yeah, I was letting people in. So we let in all the PTs that needed work. I was never going to take that away from them. I never thought that was my position to do that, even though I should have done. In terms of by the law, I should have not let people do that. But there was no way I was not going to let the guys that work here, PT here, not earn money. So they brought their clients in. I still had clients that I trained here. I still trained here myself. My family did. Craig's family did. So there's quite a few people here. And like someone asked me earlier if we ever had police visits. And it was like twice every week we'd have a police visit, like scoping the place out and stuff like that. And I'm one of these people that I won't be beaten. No way. Like, we weren't just taking the piss. We were genuinely trying to help people, you know? Like, we weren't just going, oh, suck this. We're going to open the gym, you know? Because if I did, I'd just open the gym. But it got really crazy. Like, at one point, garden centres got open. Right, you could open a garden centre.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, which I don't know why, but apparently you could open
a garden centre. You could go shopping for plants.
Yes.
But you couldn't go and work
that
out.
Was, yeah. No. That, so gardening was a necessity. So, anyway, fair play to the gardening community. But, so I superimposed... I say superimposed, I just, on a paint document or whatever the Mac version is, I put Garden Center over Revival Fitness on the, took a picture of the gym from the outside and changed Revival Fitness to Garden Center, posted it on Instagram and put, we're open as a Garden Center, guys, this is the new phase of Revival Fitness, blah, blah, blah. Somebody reported that to the police and the police came to see if we were masquerading as a garden center to open up.
Did you have plants outside?
No, we didn't do anything. We were closed. Like, I was there, but like, I remember they knocked and genuinely I was the only one there at the time. At this one occasion, I was the only one in there and they knocked and I was like, can I help? And the police officer went and they were lovely. Don't get me wrong. 99% of the police that came were amazing, but like some of them were arseholes. But I was like, yeah, how can I help? And I was like, oh, you've changed the sign. And I was like, no. And he was like, it said garden center the other day. And I was like, have you seen that sign? Like, I'm not very good at like doing things like that. That was terrible. I felt quite good actually, because I thought it must have been a good effort. And he was like, yes, no, I haven't seen it, but someone told me you'd put a garden center sign up. And I was like, no way. Is this the reason why you're here? And I explained what had happened and they were just really embarrassed. I mean, they still looked round, but they were embarrassed. And I was just like, as if that's what this is getting to now. Like, you can't even make a joke on Instagram about it.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But we'd have, like, the police would come around with like torches everywhere and it was pitch black in here, like, but they were just like going around and it was mega. But like the one time we had, like, there's a PT that we have, again, I won't name anybody, but who trains people for like stage and stuff like that. It's such a cool guy. But like, he trains a lot of people for stage. So there was, at one time, there was a lot of them here posing in the mirror. And like, to be fair, we actually found out we could actually have them here because they're like athletes. So we could actually have them, but we didn't know that at the time. There was about 20 of them right in the back room. And I had, with other PTs, had at least about 15 people in here training. So police came and I was like, right. We had this little procedure. It was just crazy. But I probably won't go into the procedure just in case we're going lockdown again. I can keep doing it. But we had this procedure where we could hide people in this like room that you cannot find this room, right? If I didn't tell you the room was there, you ain't finding it. I'll tell you right now. I've told you where it is, but like...
I probably still wouldn't find it.
No. Once it's shut, you ain't getting in. So I knew it was safe. And we had to hide 35 people in this like... And if I show you the room, it's tiny. And like 20 of them were in bikinis. So like... And all the rest were, like, proper lads, like, who, like, just love it. So, like, there was all these women, like, stunning women in, like, bikinis with these lads crammed in this room like sardines. And I had the police, like, searching the building. Da, 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 da. And I said to you, it got to a point where you could tell the police were, like, bastard. Like, where are these? They knew there were people in here because they would have reports every day. So...
You'd have been on the news then.
Oh, well, we must have been on police, right? We must have been on their, like, thing, like... If that was
reporting though?
Well, reporting? I don't want to name names, but we were told it was businesses in the area that were reporting us.
Oh, wow.
And there was one business that the police, every time they came to us, would go to them after. And if I tell you the business offline, but the police wouldn't go to this business because it's a charity, basically. But we were like, so it must have come from there. But either way, it is what it is. And that's why I talk about this negativity that was happening, because we were just trying to help people, you know. Yeah. And I just think there's no need for that person to get involved.
So many people suffered during that lockdown by not being able to come to places like this.
Well, I put that post out, didn't I, saying if you're struggling with your mental health, like, contact me.
Because
if you call the gym, I don't know if you ever call the gym, it always goes through to my mobile phone. I answer every Revival Fitness call, everyone. So if you call the gym number, it's me who answers.
I wouldn't tell everyone that.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said that, should I?
Hello. How do I leave my job? I really want to leave my job tomorrow.
Well, I put.
Tell me.
God, I'd make money out of it though. I'd be like, well, I'll tell you at a price. Yeah. That's another income of mine. I put that out there, and I remember like within the first 24 hours, a guy rang me. He wasn't even a gym member, and he was like a Scottish guy and who lived in Hal's Owen, and he said, "This is the last call I'm going to make." And I was like, "Whoa!" And like I was expecting like a mate of mine from the gym, right, or like just a member that I maybe don't know, just like chatting to me about anything, right? And I weren't doing much, so I was open, right, to anything. And he was like, this is the last call I was going to make. And I was just like, it threw me off, man, because I was like, I had to try and make sure he was calling the right person. Like, do you know who you're calling? And he did, sort of. And he was just like telling me about his life, man. He was like, what I was trying to do was like, anything he was saying, I was trying to pick up on something and just talk about it. So he had a dog, for example. So I'd ask him what his dog's name was, and he ended up being a South Park character. So I'd talk to him about South Park because obviously he's into it, right? Yeah. And then we'd talk for 20 minutes about South Park, and then he was buzzing. And then he would tell me, I'd ask him about his job, and he was in stocks and shares. And I thought, well, that's really cool, right? So I'd talk to him about that. I don't know much about it, but it's cool. So I talked to him about that. And he ended up being a really successful guy. Like, this guy was mega successful. But he was going to kill himself, basically, was the gist of it all. And don't get me wrong, after the call, I never spoke to him again. But all I got from it, we were on the phone for 2 hours. And at the end of it, he was, like, buzzing. And he said, I'm so glad I've called you, da-da-da-da-da. And it was legit. It went from a feeling of like, I was nearly crying. Like, I was that scared. Not for the situation. I wasn't crying because of the situation. I was like his situation. I was just scared, nervous. Because I was like, this legit could be this guy's last call. Yeah. And then he goes and does whatever. And I'm like, that's responsibility, man. Like, I was like, fuck. Like, I've never been so, I was shaking, right? But after the call, it was like doing this podcast. I was just like chatting. It was like having a mate. And I just said, anytime, just call this number. Anytime. Gave my mobile number in the end. I was like, just call it and chat to me, because that was the best conversation I'd ever had in my life. It was just amazing. Like, it must have been because it was just turned around sort of thing.
That's what we do this, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is exactly why we do this.
For you to talk to someone.
It was so cool.
Talk to anyone.
Yeah, we want to create a platform for people so we can help people, mm-hmm. even if we just help one person.
Talking is the best thing, not for me. This is not my therapy.
Yeah, because that guy that I spoke to might not have had anybody in his life. And, like, he said he had family, but, like, he didn't have a partner or anything, so he just had his dog. And that was, like, a really important part of his life. So he obviously didn't have many people to talk to. And I'm guessing maybe in stocks and shares, if you're doing your own thing, it's probably quite an isolated thing sometimes, because it's a lot of times people don't understand it, so you're just on your own. And it was just to have a chat with him. And I pray and I hope he went off cool, you know? I hope he didn't do anything stupid in the end, but... It seemed like he was okay.
It's so mental.
Yeah, it was.
Mental talk.
It was a mental talk. Yeah, it was.
That's why we need to talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. So I think we should wrap up.
Wrap it up. Mm-hmm. Keep it safe.
Yeah.
When's the next episode?
Well, when's this one being?
This one.
So you've got to do your editing and.
You need an editor. So I think you need an editor.
We can't afford an editor.
Brilliant.
Is it non-for profit?
We know someone really successful who just sat right next to us.
Do you know how to edit?
No.
Okay, there we go.
No.
I can edit.
You can Photoshop.
I can do good stuff like that, yeah.
Photoshop.
I can make me look really shredded sometimes. It's just the structure thing on Instagram. It's great. Yeah.
So I think this episode goes out 3rd of September.
Okay.
We're going to do it every 2 weeks.
I think every 2 weeks, it gives us time to actually come up
find a guest.
Find a guest.
There's a lot of people out there that want to come on the show.
Make this.
Martin's going to be on here all the time.
I'll come back anytime you want, guys. I love it.
Every time we need a guest, just
stick me on.
Get a spare microphone. But any more questions, Paul?
I think that's it for me.
We're not going to do the old top tips anymore, are we? They come out throughout the show.
Yeah, they will do. Yeah.
What's the takeaway from today?
Make your own look.
Yeah. Make your own look.
You've got to go out there. It's like what we say, isn't it? If you are struggling mentally, if you know you struggle mentally and you don't help yourself, you'll never get better. Yeah. You've got to help yourself. That's why, you know, when you say about making your own luck, you have to do it yourself sometimes. You have to work hard to fulfill what you want to do in life.
Yeah, it's this whole campaign. I think we said it before when the campaign is saying it's okay not to be okay, but you've got to do something about it.
Yeah, you can't just sit there and go, yeah, well, I'm not okay.
Yeah,
I'm not okay.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Because I don't like that phrase, you know. I'm not a huge fan of that phrase.
Yeah,
no, just because I think it promotes not being okay. Yeah. Like, it should be, it's okay to not be okay if you do something about it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, not just sit back and do nothing. Like,
that's cool with a new catchphrase.
Yeah, I think, like, I get the catchphrase, don't get me wrong, right? Yeah. But it's, it should be, there should be a caveat to that, yes, in my opinion. Yeah. So,
yes, yeah, so my takeaway. We could just do that. What are your takeaways from today's session?
A large kebab.
Is it?
Boom. Or save it for tomorrow, because Disco Fries is at the new inn in Stourbridge and they do the best loaded fries. Chicken katsu fries is my top tip.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. Lovely. And if you don't follow the new inn in Stourbridge after this, guys, honestly, we can't be friends. I swear to God.
I'm sure we follow it on Instagram. I'm sure they follow us.
I think we do.
There's the next sponsor. Free food.
Awesome.
Boom.
Every episode.
If you do on a Friday night, I could bring free food.
Yes.
Could you imagine that? He wouldn't be here, though. Be there.
Yeah, no, too bad.
Sorry, guys. I'm like, I'm running late. I brought the takeaway van with me. My takeaway is, it's not a doner kebab. It's just to be positive every day, regardless. It's not about motivation, be positive. So go.
You know what you should do? You should do a segment where every week you update on how far you've, how close you are to opening your dream empire.
Well, I think what we need to do.
What did you do over this week to make, or the over 2 weeks that has had an input in that?
That's true. This is the start of the empire.
Oh, definitely.
This is a massive thing. Yes, like,
this is just the beginning.
And this is generated from luck.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Made our own luck.
It's cost, like, I hope we can say this. It cost you nothing because you met the right guy. I'm not saying I'm a god, but if there's one step down, this is me. No. You know, you speak to other people, they'd want money for this stuff.
Yeah,
and I just
absolutely
think, no way, you meet the right people and you ask the right questions, you get what you want.
Definitely would.
Luck.
So we made our luck there. There's my takeaway.
We did.
What about you, Paul?
I just, same.
Not a dumb club.
Make your own look and work hard.
Yeah.
See, Martin's the result of that.
He's going to see me in here now, every day after work, down here. This is my office.
Boom.
Working hard.
That's right, man. Get on the grind. It's on the top. It's on his t-shirt. On his jumper. Get on the grind.
Eric Thomas.
So, it's been a pleasure. Martin's been brilliant.
Thanks, mate. I hope I've input some good input. I mean, hopefully
people can listen.
I can
to
talk
that
forever
go,
sometimes, but
I want to change my mindset, my mentality.
Yeah,
I just really do what you love in life. You know, job done.
Do what you love.
You know, and if you can earn money on the back of it, fuck yeah, done.
Love it.
That's literally what life should be like.
Yeah,
like my son's advice to my son will always be: go and do something you love to do, and try and earn some fucking money on the back of it. Boom. And if you can do that, you'll never work a day in your life.
Mentality.
Powerful.
It's quite good.
Yeah.
Why to end the episode? Do you want to try one of our soundtracks? Here we go. Laughing at Martin.
Yeah, that's not. You should have done the clap.
I don't know. I can't remember which one.
One of them. No. Two of the worst ones. We need the clap.
I can't remember which one it is. Do you reckon it's C?
Hang on. Let's start again. Earn some fucking money in the back of it.
That'll do.
Yes. Episode done.
Thank you for listening. Join us next time. I'm not going to announce the guest.